Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 in our Wednesday evening services. We've been going through the book of Proverbs and considering these wise words of Solomon speaking to his children. Pithy maxims is another definition of Proverbs. Weighty words that deal with subjects. And it's just really interesting how the Lord has put that together, inspired Solomon and others to that their writings are collected in this book of Proverbs. We're in a section here in chapter 27. And it tells us in chapter 25, at the beginning of that chapter, that these words of Solomon, I think in that chapter 25 and the subsequent words were those that Hezekiah's men copied out. Some of it redundant, but we need the Word of God over and over again. Amen. The Scripture says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's the way we get it, and we need that redundancy. Sometimes the same things are said in a different way, and that helps us to get it. And we need to pray that the Lord will help us with understanding with His Word. Solomon speaking to his children, our Heavenly Father, for we that are saved, speaking to us. The book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, the Sermon on the Mount, there in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Good instruction from the Lord about living day-to-day life. What God's mind is about us living life. And very practical scripture, and I encourage we need to be feeding on these passages often. It's not the book of Proverbs, book of Ecclesiastes, as well as the whole scripture, but these really tell the mind of the Lord regarding about what He thinks about us and as we live and as we walk on this earth. And so we need to have these good words within us. We feed on this these passages, and we'll begin to think like the Lord thinks. That's what I mean when I say that this is the mind of the Lord about our existence upon this earth. In Proverbs chapter 27, we took a look at verse number 1 last time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Doesn't mean that it's wrong to plan. Doesn't mean that it's wrong to plan and look forward and line things out in orderly. It's not wrong for us to be a good steward of what the Lord's given us, to manage not only the stuff of life that He blesses us with, but manage our time. We need to set priorities. We need to do things like that. I think the key is here is we don't need to brag about what we're going to do. Amen. We purpose to do things, and we saw in Deuteronomy 8 last time that we need to remember. Israel was charged by Moses to remember. We need to remember that it is the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. He gives us the job. He gives us the strength. He gives us the presence of mind to wake up in the morning with the presence of mind to remember and be able to do your work. That's a blessing from God. That's from Him. And He blesses us with skill. We've seen that even in these chapters. In James says, he's speaking to saved folks in James chapter 4, don't brag about what you're going to go do, what you're going to go gain, what you're going to go accomplish in a year in this city and of that. No, but if the Lord wills that we live and we're able to carry out our plans, we'll do this or that. We're in the hands of the Lord. We need to plan with the Lord and plan with the Lord's help. Plan for the Lord. Plan with in mind and seeking the Lord's face about what direction we should do in everything. If our hairs are numbered, does the Lord not care about what we deal with, face, and what we do? If He numbers the hairs of our head and knows that, then He cares, no doubt, about all things. And we've seen in these passages that we need to honor and acknowledge the Lord in all things. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. But if we go on our own way and make decisions ourselves, thinking, well, God doesn't care about that, or the Lord doesn't care about this, look out. It's a recipe for disaster. Verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. I've said it before at different places that I've worked. Maybe you've worked at some places and had some bosses that it was frustrating. I've said it before, it's not so, but I've said, he that tooteth not his own horn shall not have his horn tooted. All right, you hear that? But see, we don't need to seek praise for ourselves. We need to let another praise thee. We need to live and walk as the Lord's children. We do our work, we do that which we have before us, heartily as unto the Lord, and knowing that He will reward us. He will take care of us. And we don't need to be a pushover, but we don't need to be vengeful and hard in how we deal with folks. We need to tell what's right, tell what's true, do our job, do our work that the Lord gives us, and not worry about a legacy unto ourselves. We've had some presidents in recent times, and as well, no doubt, as senators and others that have sought to build a legacy for themselves. They're crafting a legacy. They're writing history so they'll be remembered in the way that they think that they should be remembered. No, we're not to do that. In Proverbs 25, we just saw it here a couple chapters back. It is not good to eat much honey. Okay, it'll make you sick. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. To be there building a legacy, to reminding folks of what one has done, to desire the accolades of men rather than the timely promotion of God. When and if the Lord wants to lift us up, when He does it, it'll be right on time and it'll be the right degree, won't it? We need to rest in Him about that. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. After all, who's better at that than me? Whatever that is, right? We all think that we've got the right idea and the right way, right? It's just in us. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? One that does what he has before him, observes what the word of the Lord is, and takes that and applies that to live in life. And even if the job, the work, the pursuit that he has is thankless, that he does so heartily as unto the Lord. We work and walk before the Lord. And may we remember that. It says here, a faithful man, who can find? He or she that is faithful and does not have to remind others about what they do. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful in the little things or in the great things. So, that doesn't matter. I can blow that off. No. If we've got a responsibility in it, we need to do it well. Never reminding others about what they have done, never requiring praise. A faithful man, who can find? They know their reward is from the Lord. May the Lord help us that we observe that in life. We need to. That's what the Lord says. Verse number 21. Let's skip down there real quick. I'll get there to it. Verse 21, as the fining pot for silver, that's how silver is refined, the furnace for gold, because it needs a higher temp, so is a man to his praise. We love to be praised, don't we? Naturally, we love to be praised, and we need to not seek our own praise. Verse 3, a stone is heavy. Yeah, it's rock. A sand is weighty, especially when it's wet. You know what? Sand is really weighty, and it's in the winter, and it's frozen, full of water. I took a front-end loader one time and went into a pile of sand with a tractor and went thunk. That was some really heavy, sticky sand. I just thought it would be loose as it is when in warmer weather, but it's not. Listen to this. But a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. A fool. We've seen much that it says about a fool. One that's silly. One that's not sober. One that doesn't care about life. Doesn't care about responsibility. Doesn't care about what God says about things. A fool is one that says, there is no God. I answer to no one. I have no responsibility to anybody. I do what this old mind thinks and what this old body desires to do. A fool. And when a fool gets wrathful, oh, it is terrible to bear. It is terrible to bear. What is wrath? Well, see, anger is that which we have on the inside when something is going on that gets our blood boiling. when we get riled, as we might say, there is anger. The scripture says in the New Testament, be angry and sin not. It says that really it's wise for the child of God to put away anger, okay? But if we do get angry, let us not sin because of it. Because see, wrath is that anger that starts sprouting legs and then starts to go do something. Brother Stephen mentioned about the tongue, and other brethren in the Sunday school lessons have mentioned about the tongue. James speaks to us about the tongue. Anger starts sprouting legs and starts getting on the move, and then that tongue goes in gear, or that action, or seeking vengeance, or seeking to hurt or to harm, and then you get a fool that becomes wrathful. It's heavier than that heavy sand and that those heavy stones, because he cannot be reasoned with at all. The fool doesn't care about himself, doesn't care about anybody else, and you let him get wrathful, and it is a terrible, terrible thing. Wrath, anger with legs on it, and it's very, very heavy. Verse 4, wrath is cruel. And anger outrageous. This wrath, talking about, it's like a synonym for this word wrath in the Hebrew is like poison, hot displeasure, furious. I was furious at what they said. Be careful about being furious. Wrath can be cruel. It can be fierce indeed. Anger can be outrageous. You know what that word the word anger is speaking about literally? That Hebrew word is talking about the nose. What happens when people get angry? Their nose flares, right? Yeah, no, people get it. That's a thing that we do with our countenance, that and you get to breathing hard when you get angry. I mean, I'm talking really getting serious about a thing. Anger is outrageous. It can be overflowing as a flood, but then. What about envy? Who can stand before envy? Wrath is terrible and can be cruel. Anger can be overflowing, outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Envy, I believe, if I understand it right, envy is jealousy with legs on it. Jealousy. Jealousy is that in the heart. Jealous about something at hand, whatever it may be. And then it turns into envy, it turns into action, it turns into a vengeful, hurtful, seeking what in the mind of the one that's dealing with that recompense for some way that they've been wrong or some way that troubles them and bothers them. Wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, and who is able to stand before envy? What about we as the children of the Lord? Should we be party to any of that? No. No, we should not. We need to be pursuant of the fruits of the Spirit. Verse number 5. Boy, we live in a day that this is tough. Open rebuke is better than secret love. It's better for me that you tell me the truth in a right good way than to think that you love me by not telling me something that I do need to know. Open rebuke. Now, this isn't necessarily talking because we are instructed in the Scripture that we need to have discretion. We need to have, it behooves us to have tact. It behooves us to handle situations well. Brother Stephen's been dealing with that in Sunday school class about how to deal with controversy amongst the children of the Lord. But better to come and tell me what's going on that I'm doing wrong because you love me than to not tell me and I go on my way. Open rebuke is better than secret love. It is. This is reinforced by the passage that comes after it. Faithful, verse number 6, are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I need, when my appendix went south and went to the other side, I needed surgery. And that surgeon had to cut on me, left me with a big old incision about that long. And that it hurt. And it was an experience, but I needed that work to be done on my... He had to hurt me in order to help me. He had to cut me in order to help me. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses or the supposed love of an enemy are deceitful. See, think about this. Think about it this way. The Lord loves and always has loved Israel, His nation, right? And He always told her, always has told her, always will tell her the truth. But it would stir up those in Israel that were against the way of the Lord and against the truth of the Lord and were disobedient to Him. But He told her the truth. Then there would be kings that would rise up in Israel and rise up in Judah after the kingdom was divided. And what would they do? Rather than, we know of some that sought the face of the Lord, and the Lord blessed and delivered in miraculous ways, didn't He? When they would repent, would not the Lord forgive? But they would see an enemy at hand, and they would see a multitude coming against them, and there were many in Israel that would go to other nations for help. And the Lord describes them as a reed, I think, going up in the hand, and as one that would abuse. The parallel, the allegory, or the picture that's given is that those other nations would take advantage of Israel and abuse her as a man would without scruples abuse a woman. Cause why? They did not love the nation, but the Lord has always loved the nation. Here, the wounds of a friend are faithful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 3, the scripture says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 70 times in a day turn to thee unto thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Know who your friends are. And even if what they say unto us that's the truth hurts, may we hear what the Lord says and what the Word of God says. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the scripture says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And sometimes that provoking might need to be some rebuke. It might need to be a reminder of what God's Word says compared to what I'm doing that's out of the way. Verse 7 of chapter 27 in Proverbs, the scripture says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb." He's chock full. Can chew, but he can't swallow anymore. And so, want some more honey? And so, oh no, he go from loving it to hating it because he's so full. "But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." When we're hungry, you know, I never have really been starving. In our nation, I wonder if they're, you know, and especially in the time of our lives, if there's really ever been anybody that's really, really been hungry. Surely there has been. But we don't know famine like other nations do. When we're full, we can be choosy. But all when we're hungry, every bitter thing is sweet. A practical thing. Verse number 8. "As a bird that wandereth from her nest." That's her nest. She made it. She made that nest. And she goes and wanders off from it. It's inordinate, isn't it? For a bird to go and build a nest and lay some eggs and not sit on those eggs to bring them to full term and to hatch out those chicks. "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." Every one of us has got a place. A right place. And just like it's inordinate for a bird to take off and leave the nest that they build. Yeah, have you ever seen that with some birds? We've had some here at the church house. They'd build a nest in a certain place and we didn't want the nest there. We'd take it down there and 2 days later there's a nest back. That's their place. They're going to build that nest and get that nest built and lay those eggs right there because that's their place. And it's inordinate for a bird to go away from their nest. So it is. It's inordinate. So is a man that wandereth from his place. We've all got a place. To a strange land, to a place that we don't belong. It's not right. We need to be where the Lord has put us. If we have a home, we need to direct that home right. If we've been placed in a home by the Lord, by virtue of being children in a home, we need to take our place in that home right before the Lord. Honor the Lord in it. To wander off, a man that would wander off in a strange way. That word strange in the Scripture, it's not necessarily talking about being weird and kooky and, you know, bizarre. It's talking about that which is not appropriate for the one that's being talked about. Parents that teach what the Word of God says in the right way, in an obedient way to their children, and the children go off in another way, a way of the world. So is a man that wandereth from his place, maybe with a strange woman. It's not talking about a bizarre, kooky, goofy looking woman. It's talking about one that doesn't belong. Young people, if you're not married, you don't need to be doing things and behaving married. That one that you would be subject to take up with, they're strange to you. They're not yours till you marry them. And men ought to marry women, and women ought to marry men.
Yes.
That's the way the Lord's designed it. Otherwise, they are strange to you. They don't belong to you. We who are married, our spouse is ours. And every other is strange to us. We don't belong with them. We belong with our spouse. Otherwise, we open it up, disobedience to the Lord, and open it up to heartache. So as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. In a strange land, a strange way, with a strange woman or a strange man. Verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Especially if you like the way it smells, huh? If you like the way it smells, it's pleasant, and that's what it's talking about. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. This word sweetness is talking about the discourse that one has with his friend, the conversation, the encouragement. Brethren that are able to talk about the Scripture, brothers and sisters in Christ, are able to talk about the Scripture. It's a help and a blessing one to another, isn't it? It says, just like ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, and it's a pleasant thing to the senses, so it is the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Good help, a friend that'll stand by you. A friend that'll come running when you need some help. A friend that'll tell you the truth. Maybe sometimes a friend that has to wound you to help you. It's a great, great thing. Verse number 10. This has been an interesting verse, and a verse that I've considered. I've wanted to preach a message on it, never have to my recollection. But listen to this. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Remember when Solomon died and Rehoboam was given the kingdom and he took counsel with Solomon's advisors and they recommended what he should do and he discounted that advice, that counsel. But he sought to his own counselors, which were younger and less experienced than that. And he listened and hearkened to them, and he inherited a rebellious, divided kingdom, didn't he? our father's friends, and the context is good. Our own friends and our father's friend forsake not. Think about this. Is your daddy saved? He's got a friend in Jesus if he's saved, isn't he? Don't forsake your daddy's friend. Don't forsake your father's friend. For sure the Lord Jesus is not to be forsaken. If a father is saved, don't forsake your father's friend. Hear him. Believe him. The Lord Jesus, for me, is the greatest friend my father has. The Lord saved my father when he was in his late 20s or so, thereabouts. His late 20s. And he's the best friend my father has, and I don't need to forsake him. I need to hear him and believe him. And I praise the Lord that he saved me too. Oh, that I not forsake that friend. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. And the latter part of the verse says, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, that is misfortune or oppression. It may not be that there would be help there. Maybe there would be. But remember this, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. What does it say in Proverbs 18, verse 24? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You want to have friends? You've got to be friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that is the Lord Jesus, isn't it? And he knows all and is able in all. And the thing is we can go to the Lord Jesus with anything, can't we? He already knows what's going on. And we can go to him with that, with anything. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. In Israel, there was a, and of course, you know, if our father would have a vile friend, a vile, wicked friend, does the Lord want us to follow the advice or follow the guidance from them? No, the Lord doesn't want us to go against what His Word says. But if there are those that are right and those that do well and are righteous, even just by morally, we should not forsake them if they were our friends to our folks. We should not look to turn things upside down. Because there's strength in the heritage and that at hand. Now, anything that anybody does that's vile and wicked and sinful and that, then we should disdain that. We should stand for what's right. And we do need to honor our elders. There's balance in all that. But as in Rehoboam's case, he didn't listen to the wise counsel of his father's counselors, and it cost him the kingdom, essentially. Verse 11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. This word reproacheth, I found it interesting that a synonym to that is to carp at. Like a carp is a bottom feeder. And if there's something there, and I don't want to get gross or that, but I mean there's things that die, and the carp, the Lord has made the carp and catfish and such as that, and they, if there's something laying there on the bottom, they'll work at it and just strip it away, won't they? Okay, and that's a synonym for this word reproacheth. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that is just working on me. Would they bring a bad report about the child? Would they bring a bad report to the father, to Solomon, about his children? He says, be wise. Do good. Is it not Peter that says, John that says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth? That's a blessing for a parent, isn't it? To know that a child is obedient to the Lord of their own accord, of their own heart. They hear the Lord and they believe Him and trust Him in what He says. He goes on in verse number 12, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." He's got sobriety about him, and he's got sense about him. He's got discretion about him. He's received the instruction and the warning of the Lord to look out. Look out. And when there's evil coming, he hides. He gets away from it. But the simple, or the one without instruction, the ignorant, evil's coming and they just keep on going. They pass by the one that has hid himself. And they pass on and they are punished. They're hurt. They're taken advantage of. They're compromised. Verse 13, "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman." And we've seen many verses regarding this about standing, in our day we would say, is co-signing. Being the surety for one, you're backing them up that if they fail on what's owed, you're going to pay it. I'm going to pay it if we've done so. And this passage here can be maybe looked at a couple ways, two different ways. If a guy is going to be surety for somebody he doesn't even know, you better get something to make solid what he's agreed to right up front. Okay? Because a man you don't even know, how are you going to back him up? How are you going to know that he's going to make good? And if he's willing to engage with a strange woman, a woman that's not his morals may not be too right, and he just might leave you with the debt. Morality does matter. It was said one time in appearance, morality and appearance matters. There's some crisis at hand. And this woman has got her child. Maybe somebody's ran off with her other child. And she looks here and she sees this woman that's dressed modestly and decent and has a loving countenance and you know, is just nice. And she looks over here and she sees a gal here and she's all dressed wild and her hair's all different colors and all different lengths and got studs in her cheeks and studs in her lips and studs in her eyelids. Who's she going to give the kid to? Going to give it to the grandma, isn't she? Right? Right? Said, if take a pledge of him for a strange way, if he's willing to engage one in that, consider his morality. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 16, "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman." It's an exact duplicate of that passage. Proverbs 11:15, listen to this. "He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure." Don't co-sign. Maybe it might be that we might be in a situation that maybe we would co-sign for our children. I tell you what, you better make sure that they're of character, that they'll pay it back. Better do it. Or it can hurt. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. Can't help but remind you of this. "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe or a deer from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." He says, if you've made yourself surety for your friend, if you've shook on it, you better make sure that friend's feeling good, gets to work and earns his wage and gets that guy paid. Because otherwise you're going to be on the hook for it. And then when you find out that he's got it paid up enough to where he can be on his own, you deliver yourself. He says, it's bad. Proverbs 17, verse 18, a man void of understanding striketh hands. And in our day, it's just like shaking hands. And becometh surety in the presence of his friend. It says here that when he does that, he's void of understanding. Because you're depending on the follow-through of another. Have what the Lord blesses you with yourself and your family. And don't get on the lamb for somebody else. Verse 14, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. He's bragging about his friend. He's really flattering about him, and he says he blesses his friend with a loud voice. He's all loud and boastful about it. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Look out. Verse 15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. We've talked about this. Contentions, are they justified? We need to look out. You know, the indication here is a woman. It can be a man that can be contentious too. Are the contentions justified? We in marriage, we need to make sure that our spouse's contentions are not justified. We need to do what's right to make things well. But sometimes one that's contentious can be a brawler, can't they? That's what that word contentious means. So man or woman can have an attitude, it's not going to be satisfied, going to tear down their house. And that's tough. And there's passages that talk about better to live in the corner of the housetop than in a wide house with a woman that's contentious. Are the contentions justified? Brethren, if they're justified on her part, then we need to do well, make things right. If they're not justified, then that one that is guilty of that strife, of that brawling, they need to straighten up. We need to realize that we stand before the Lord. Listen to what it says here. Verse 16. Whosoever hideth this woman, this one that's contentious, whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind. Can you hide the wind? I was dealing with a plastic bag today and trying to hold the thing down while setting something on top of it, and the wind was blowing it out away and everything. You can't hide the wind. You can't do anything with the wind, can you? Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind. And listen to this. I've always wondered about this verse. And the ointment of his right hand, which bereath itself. Well, what's that talking about? Well, ointment. It's talking about grease or liquid or olive oil, perfumed, that which things are anointed with, and that, or maybe a pine scent, an ointment. This word bereath, what does that mean? What's that talking about? Well, the word bereath is talking about calling out, to call, to be famous, to preach, to proclaim, to publish, to read, and renounce. Listen to this. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind, which you can't do, and the ointment of his right hand, which bereath itself. If you put on Icy Hot or Bengay, everybody around you knows you've put it on. That's what it's talking about. You can't hide it. You take that ointment, it's in your hand, you get that stuff and you get it on there, and you can't get it off there, can you? And then you've got it, and it's got to wear off. Well, one that hides, one that is contentious, tries to hide one that's contentious, can't be hidden. Best to deal with it well, and both parties deal with it well and right before the Lord. Verse 17, we'll close. Iron sharpeneth iron. You got that steel, right? You're working on meat, and take that steel and run that knife across it, and it's fun. It somehow gets the burr off and makes that knife to where it'll cut. You have to put forth less effort, less work. You know it says that in the Scripture too, that if you'll sharpen your knife, it'll be easier to work with it? Yeah, it does. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, to make sharp or to make severe, to make fierce. You know, this can be a good thing or a bad thing. We can go to our friend And if we're not of a right heart and right way and right mind, we can take our friend and we can get them riled up. We can get them lit up. We can take maybe that thing that they're angry about and we can egg them on. If we're not of a character or they're of not a right heart or character, we can take them and we can press them and we can get them riled up. And we shouldn't do that. But you know what? Our friend is having a hard time or considering things with something to do or whatever. We can give good counsel. We can help them. We can be helped by our friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. He helps him. He encourages him. It's like that verse that we read earlier. In verse number 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. It's good to have friends, isn't it? It's good to have friends, especially saved friends. We talk about our relationship that we have, and I'm thankful for my family, and there are those in my family that are saved, but some in my family that are not saved, but I have a better relationship with those of the household of faith than I do many others that I'm related to. Why? Because of the kinship we have in Christ. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing indeed. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ said that He came to save sinners. Not the righteous, but sinners. He said those that are sick are the ones that need a physician. And those that are dead and trespasses and sins, they need a Savior. Do you see yourself as a sinner before God? Are you guilty before God? You are, whether you know it or not. I pray that you would see that you know it. You're guilty before God. Repent of your sins and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that saves. And what you're commanded to do is to see your need and come to the Lord. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. He's the one that saves. Seek His face. There's going to come a time where there'll be no more salvation. And the Bible talks about all different things about salvation and that, but we live right here at this time and this moment. Where do you stand before the Lord? Where do you stand before Jesus Christ? May the Lord help and bless. If we can help you in any way, be glad to do so.